हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 37. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 11676. Anukulyasya sankalta pratikulasya varjanam rakshish yatiti vishvaso goptritve varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanye Sadvidha Sharanagati. Notes. Just as the four items of Bhagavad Gita 18.65 take into account the nine processes of devotional service given in the Shastra, so the method of surrender advised in 18.66 takes into account the Sadvidha Sharanagati, sixfold method of surrender given in the Shastra. Quotation from C.C. Madhyalila, 22.100. One who is fully surrendered is qualified with the six following characteristics. One, the devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for this rendering of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Two, he must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service. This is called renunciation. Three, a devotee, so here renunciation means you're giving up what's unfavorable, rather than the fruit is yours and then you're giving it up for the Lord. That's also renunciation. But here it means is that this we're talking about, you know, those situations, those means, I guess it would mean everything. So even, yeah, eventually renouncing that you're following the process of renunciation, that the result is for Krishna, it's yours giving the result to Krishna, you're renouncing that and working on the platform of sannyas. So that means then the sambandha has to be correct, so and your prayojana is correct, so then your avideya should fall into line, should work properly. Three, a devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection, and being firmly convinced of this is called faith. This kind of faith is different from the faith of an impersonalist who wants to merge into the Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. The devotee wants to remain always in the Lord's service. In this way, Krishna is merciful to his devotee and gives him all protection from the dangers found in the path of devotional service. Right, so the dangers are there because dangers means anything that's not devotional, right? Devotional things are the danger. It's what's non-devotional. So our own mentality, others' mentality, you know, and that is based on situations. The situation is there, so according to our mentality, then we might see an opportunity for sense gratification, right? So that's dangerous, right? Does that make sense? So all these different kinds of things. Four, the devotee should accept Krishna as his supreme maintainer and master. He should not think that he is being protected by a demigod. He should depend only on Krishna, considering him the only protector. The devotee must be firmly convinced that within the three worlds he has no protector or maintainer other than Krishna. Right? So Krishna is protecting, Krishna is maintaining. No one else is maintaining. Right? The demigod is only doing because if you offer something to him, then there's that return. That's one aspect. But he's only authorized to take care of you. How? what is his office? You can't deal with other things. You can only deal in the areas of his office. So and that power that he does have, that comes through Krishna. So it's Krishna's providing anyway. Right? So Krishna is the protector, and Krishna is the maintainer. So this is faith. Right? So then that means that one should have, must be firmly convinced. Right? So this also, this middle section, can be also interpreted in connection with the Madhyamas. Right? So the first two is the neophytes, they're accepting and rejecting. So your aspect of anartha nivriti is prominent. Right? And then the second one is that this main Krishna is the maintainer, protector, that's the Madhyama. So that means firm faith. See, because he could use that firmly convinced. He uses that twice. Then five, self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. The devotee is meek and humble. So these are, you know, naturally the symptoms of, how you say, that one remembers, one is completely identifying as a servant of Krishna. Right, full. Now, all these are all there at every stage, but it's just that you'll see that the emphasis on those is, right? Because for the neophyte, it's not for faith, it's just he's focused on what he should do and not do, right? But because of practice of Madhyama, what he should do and not do is there, now it's a matter of the faith. You know, it means a Krishna protector and maintainer. That aspect. Then the last is that those things are now, it's just simply identifying as Krishna's servant and being meek and humble. He doesn't see anything else other than just that surrender to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
So that's Uttama. So that's Uttama.
Yes. But at the same time, what's also interesting to note is that just as when you start with, when you begin the process of Shraddha to Prema, right? Where does it start?
Faith. Faith.
Faith. But what's before faith? To have faith, then there must be? Sadhu Sangha. Do you understand? So in the same way as to actually accept and reject, you have to have started with the idea of surrendering to the Lord and being meek and humble. Otherwise, if you're too proud, you don't see yourself as a devotee. Because five also means seeing yourself as a devotee, identifying as a devotee. So when that happens, then you're willing to take up what you should do and not do. Right? And then that will bring you to this next stage. So, does that make sense? Right? And at the same time, as you can take all, so it starts with that. At the same time, you can take all these as there, because the point is that the neophyte devotee also thinks he is the protector and maintainer of himself, but he understands Krishna is, so therefore he's able to work in that. And he's identifying himself as a devotee and trying to be humble. Right? The Madhyama is also seeing that way. It's just a matter of what's favorable and unfavorable. In the beginning, you know, the gross sense gratification and other things like this, but then it's a matter of the focus, how much you're focused on Krishna. So what's to be accepted and rejected? Right, because even on the platform of Bhava, there's things to accept and reject. Does that make sense? So you have the generic, that all these six together comprise surrender, right? And then they have these other nuances to them. Yes.
Maharaj, when there is mention about the activities and desire are not independent, not five.
Yes.
So it means that when we are before this Uttama platform, means we are trying to express our desire to become servant of Krishna.
Yes.
And after a certain level, means desire is fully connected with Krishna.
Yes. Yes. Means that's the natural thing. The Madhyama, why it's in between, means the neophyte is prakrita, means he tends to identify and work with the material energy because of his own desires. Uttama means that's not what he's doing, right? So he is doing everything just to please Krishna. So that means Madhyama is in between, right? It started at The lowest level of that is you're fixed in the devotional process, right? It means that's fixed. But it still is, you know, one is very comfortable or more comfortable in performing activities in connection with the conditioning. Right, but it's all just done for Krishna, so it's done in the mood of sannyas. But it's still, but then ruchi and shakti means that taste and attachment to Krishna take prominence over the conditioning, even though the conditioning is in the pure state. So the Madhyam is pure devotee, but he's still dealing with the environment, is still that of the conditioning, right? So, but then that element of taste is there, which is beyond. Because if something's in the middle, means it has something, an aspect of both, right? So the Madhyama is like the sundae between the neophyte and the Uttama, right? So that makes sense. But because it has elements of the Uttama in it, that's why it's considered advanced. It's an advanced position. But when we're saying about these six apply to everybody in whatever situation they're in. That's the thing. We're just saying is that emphasis of these things, just like the neophyte, he's going to the kirtan because he likes going to the kirtan. But the taste he has isn't so prominent, so we don't call it ruchi. He's going because he likes it, but it's not that he's absorbed in that taste like someone in the platform of ruchi is. He has a taste, that's why he's doing it. Does that make sense? Just like everybody eats because they like what they eat, but it's not that they're a connoisseur. Right? You know what I'm saying? So they are not appreciating to a great extent that it could be appreciated. The fineness, the subtleties. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so you like being in the association of devotees, so that's attachment. But it's does that make sense? So all the aspects are there. It's just a matter of where is the main, and then the others are smaller, and then it goes, these are bigger, but it just goes. Cause so what's later includes the beginning. All right? So in Bhav Sadhana, the first stage is Shravana Dasa, where one's hearing about one's position in the Lord's pastimes, right? So the principle of that is servant, right? But this has already started when you first hear that I'm not this body, I'm the soul, I'm servant of God. So that aspect of Bhav Sadhana has already started down at when you're just developing, where you're hearing from sadhus before you develop faith. Does that make sense? So all it is these aspects come out to bring out something more, a little bit more of a variety of the angles of vision. But it's not that is the exclusive way to look at it. No, because all six go together. Because at any stage, all six can be applied.
Just again on the ones that take place in desires and not in the vision. I mean, if you have maybe a more materialistic desire, then you just do it for Krishna.
Yes, because then you're bringing it in line with it's not independent. You know what I'm saying? It may be stemming from conditioning, but you're dealing with it in connection with Krishna, so it's not independent. But so that's at that level. Then the next is that you're doing everything for Krishna, but it's still connected with the conditioning, but it's not because you have a desire for the conditioning, it's just that it's comfortable. You know, because that's what you do. It's the habit. You know, it's like, you're living in your house, and you're living in the house because you really like the house and everything about the house and all the little things in the house, the little levels and the little this and that and all the like that. But then it's just a matter of, because it's according to the nature, the house is comfortable. But you're not worried about, because you're not living in the house because you're attached to it, because, you know, from that position then you can serve Krishna. You know what I'm saying? But still it's in consideration of your nature. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't matter, because the nature is always there. Everybody has a nature. That's not good. Even on the spiritual platform, one has a nature. But the point is the surrender to Krishna is first. And then you're expressing that surrender through the nature, rather than you're starting with the nature because of attachment. And then connecting it to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Therefore the higher and lower aspects of it. But the point is if it's connected to Krishna, it becomes perfect. But then there's more perfect, and then there's most perfect. Right? So connecting to Krishna makes it perfect. Not being connected to Krishna, even if it's materially perfect, it's still a waste of time. Does that make sense? And something connected to Krishna, even though it's materially imperfect, is perfect still. So that's the thing. So the independent means is that it's in line with what would be pleasing to Krishna. So if nothing else, just the end result you'll give to Krishna, that aspect, even though maybe the process and the environment isn't how Krishna would prefer it, but it's been connected. So then less independent will be. So then you adjust, you know, the results for Krishna and all these different things in the environment. So until it just gets to Krishna as a person, how would he like to be dealt with in this situation, right? Because there are things that are authorized on dealing with Krishna as Brahman and Paramatma. Right? It means you follow the Shastra, it's good, it's pious, so it's approved on the platform of Paramatma. So you've done that piety for Krishna. But then there's him as a person, right? There's his own opinion. So that's the level of surrender we're trying to get to. Right? So that's always then the higher. So that's why all these things, we don't have an anxiety that if you see Krishna in everything, including the things that aren't really ideal, that we'll go, oh, it's okay, we can do whatever we want. No, it's a matter of, yes, but that's the point, you can do whatever you want. But the point is you're supposed to do whatever Krishna wants. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you start from that. That's just the start. That's where you start from. You know what I'm saying? You know, the bum comes in, you know, like this and that. And so he starts off washing the pots or taking out the garbage or, you know, cleaning the floor. Stuff like that. Probably better even not washing the pots. Right? You know, something where he's not going to, he's already dirty now. But then, so you can say, well, that's all right, he'd do that forever. No, the next step is that the guy takes a bath and wears clean clothes. Then he can start helping with, you know, washing the pots, cutting vegetables, stuff like that. Does that make sense? So the idea is that it's progressive. Yes.
Well, as you said, that point appears that in the Vedic...
A little longer.
In the Vedic system, this adjustment principle is always pervading. And in the West, yes, we have this idea of stage is very...
Separate. Yeah, it's always... Because where means it has to be based like that, because it's okay to have... Means you naturally have stages, because you want to show that. But the point is the stages have aspects. And so all within that, some aspects may move quicker and some slower. Just like, let's say, you have the 9 processes of devotion, right? So someone may be, let's say, very, you know, good, has a very good service attitude, deals really nice with devotees, you know, so his padasevan is very strong, and it's advancing very nicely, his natural humility, service attitude, you know, his just friendliness, everything like that is nice, everyone appreciates. But, you know, he has trouble, he sits down and it takes him, you know, 3 hours to chant his rounds. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Or he has a very good service attitude. He's in the temple, everything's great, he works nicely, he has no problems. But when he leaves the temple and goes home, he's very attached to his family and his facilities and, you know, all the emotional interaction and nice food and having a good time. You understand? So one aspect may move faster than the other. So you have the aspects of stages, but when you go to apply it, you have to apply it where, what field you're actually looking at. Right? And the tendency is we'll apply whatever for us has moved quicker, that's what we'll apply to everyone else. When you have to apply, you know what is the options and whichever one they're moving at, emphasize that, whichever are the slow ones, and try to give ways to see how to engage that. And if it's engaged nicely, but if it's not, don't worry, because the other aspects, if they're strong, you know, then one will get purified, then you'll be able to, you know, so maybe this week you can't do much with it, but after, you know, a few months or something, then it may be easier, you know, you just wait. The point is you can deal with them there, and then it'll come up, because they'll start to see, they'll make a comment, you can understand that, you know what I'm saying? So that's then when you bring in that aspect and try to make that sense stronger. Does that make sense?
So it's very advantageous for us to see like that, because you can accommodate different levels.
Yes. Yes, you can accommodate. That's the whole point of the preacher. The Madhyama, that platform is the best platform for preaching, because he's not interested in results for himself, right? But he's not, it means he's seeing everyone as servants of Krishna, but doesn't mind making distinctions. So therefore he can preach, because the Uttama sees everyone as servants of Krishna. They're already interacting. It means the person loves his car. He's out there, he polishes the car. He takes it, gets it fixed all the time. He's always fiddling with his car, right? You know, he's so happy when he's driving around his car. He's always taking his friends out for a ride in his car. You know, it's all about his car. But the point is that what that aspect that he loves about his car, that's Krishna. So actually, he's just interacting with Krishna. So Uttama will see that aspect. But he just sees, here is the pure spirit soul interacting with Krishna. And because it's all Brahman, it doesn't matter which aspect of Krishna he's interacting with. Does that make sense? But the preacher makes a distinction that, yes, the soul is interacting with Krishna, but this soul doesn't know that he's interacting with Krishna, so therefore the preacher points it out. Right? And the neophyte, he has his own attachments, so therefore there's his own perspective on things. You know, like that. So that's not very useful for preaching. Therefore, even the neophytes have to take the Madhyama platform for preaching. Does that make sense? So preacher means Madhyama. What your level of advancement is, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? So just as the Uttama comes down, the neophyte has to come up. At least even if just while he preaches. You know, then when he stops preaching, then he can fight over the maha and, you know, everything like that. You know, do all that stuff. You know, but the point is when he's preaching, he should take that, present that love. And generally speaking, you can see is that if devotees are sincere, then they can all do that. Even the newest devotee can preach on a proper level. Just that there's, you know, his examples or other things like that may or may not work. So he can, you know, you have the devotee is that, you know, he can't, the guy walks in a suit, he doesn't know what to do. But if they walk in with, you know, black nail polish and eyeliner, he knows what to say. You know, so the point is his conditioning may have the, but within that, then he's speaking appropriately. Does that make sense? Means, well, what does he love about driving the car?
Oh, no, it just feels good in this.
So, but what makes him feel good? I mean, it's just what?
Well, that's why I wanted to understand how.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Is that's what you ask.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the point. It's okay. What does he like? Right? You know what I'm saying? There's got to be something about it. It's shiny. You know, it doesn't have any dents in it. Because you generally see if people are really attached to something as long as it doesn't have any blemish. But as soon as, you know, that first dent comes, then after that it just goes spirals downhill really quick, you know. You know what I'm saying? Unless he's totally into it, then he'll get the dent fixed and this and that and, you know. So, I mean, what is it about it? It's perfectness, you know, it's new, like new conditionness. It's speed, or it's a special car, you know, it's a 57 Chevy, you know, so therefore it's something unique, you know, like that. It's not a 56 or 55 or 58, who cares? 57, now that's the special one. You know, so whatever it is, it's something that's special, you know what I'm saying? So there's that uniqueness of it. You know, say everyone's got a Mercedes, but who has the 300 SL Gullwing? Right, you know, it's like that. A couple of people have it. You know, the ones where the doors open up like wings on a bird. Right, you know, so like that is that. Who has that? So even though it's not necessarily that expensive, and it's not, there's other cars that are more powerful, more of this and that. But it's so unique that amongst, you know, those who appreciate, they would have to say he's got a nice car. You know what I'm saying? The other guys are showing up in a Bentley, but so what? He's got a 300 SL Gold.
Well, he says that, but that he likes his car because it's shiny. So
okay, so therefore the shininess is actually God. Because otherwise, how is it the metal and all that is there? Because there's laws. What makes it shiny? Right? His little baby comes along, sits on the bonnet of the car, and then barfs. Right? You know, so then that's what makes it shiny, right? Yes or no?
No.
So therefore there's a law. It means that you know, it means that there can't be any baby vomit on the bonnet, right? You know? So like that, you know, you wax it, you know, you wash it, you do that's what makes it shiny. But there's rules. So who made those rules? He didn't make the rules. God made the rules. So therefore, if you follow God's laws, then God manifests in that aspect. And simply that's simply just God's shininess. Right? Does that make sense? And that's in the car. So imagine how shiny God himself is.
It's the rules that point out God.
No, the rules are how you're able to approve, to get that.
Yes.
But it's the shininess. That's why you say shininess.
Yeah.
It's not that it's shiny. Shiny is there, but it's the shininess, the nature of shiny that you're attracted to. Is that something? Yeah. That applies in anything, because whatever it is that you're attracted to, that's why Krishna says the second point of the Chatur Shloki in the Bhagavatam is that it's the value where you'll see God, right? Because that means the value is there's rules that are followed, and therefore following those rules, your value is able to be appreciated. Because God's in everything, but you're not going to interact with everything. Only what is of value with you, you interact properly, you see. But then, besides him being all-pervading and having created, maintained, and destroyed everything, and all the laws of nature, and therefore all the qualities that you're looking for being able to be manifest, still God as a person is beyond that. So that's this point of surrender here. The beginning stages are aspects of surrender, but they're relating more on karma and jnana, karma yoga, jnana yoga. But surrender means it's just being done to please the Lord. Does that make sense? So it's not because it's the rule, it's because Krishna likes it that way. And so just that we don't do things Krishna doesn't like, you know what I'm saying? Because Krishna is the shininess of the car, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't walk on the car in your boots. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't throw sand on your car. You know, does that make sense? You don't do those things because if you want to worship Krishna's shininess, you can't do these things. So that's why those rules are there, because it's against the, you know, shiny puja. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. So all anybody's doing is dealing with the Lord. But people don't see that. They think that it's something else. They think that you know, all these things that are happening, you know, they don't connect it. It's just in ignorance. They don't actually...
They shine the car, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's there, but they also know, that's what I'm saying, if you take them through the stages, anybody who's practical or intelligent can understand it. And even if they're not, then you go through the logic of emotions. You know what I'm saying? In either way, you'll catch them. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, so it's just a spark. So if this is so nice and so attractive, just imagine what the original form is and how attractive and everything. Because that's all, we're just attracted to something. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, for the Madhyam, it seems that finding the quality which the person is seeing is very important. So
yes. Means, in other words, we we use the technique, but we never take it that far. It's just like you want to sell a book or that. What are you doing? You have your lines, but those lines are just having lines is for the new guy who doesn't know what's going on. Because the big books teacher comes in, has a little seminar, you know, then they ask, well, what do you say? What do you do? So he tells them that, so they think, because I know those lines, now I'll do it. No, but it's that those lines are to match something else. Right? In other words, he analyzes what kind of people there are. right? So in general, you'll end up with nine because of the nine planets and the combinations, or the three modes and their combinations. So you generally end up with that many groups, right? You know, if you want to get freaky, then you get into the Sufi thing, you know, all the number, oh, he's a number three, you know, and all this, you know, that kind of jazz. But the point is it's though the nature is there. And so then you will say, okay, with this person I'll deal this way, with that person I'll deal that way. You know, this person I'll be more professional, that one I'll be more relaxed. You know, this one I'll be more intellectual, this one I'll just be more down home. You know, it's like, does that make sense? So the point is, but if he's more intellectual, that means knowledge is important to him. So therefore, what kind of knowledge, and therefore you find your way in. If he's professional, what is it about professional that he's looking for? You know, is it the power? Is it the control? Is it the orderliness? You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if he's into power but he's not dressed that well, then it's just a position, or it may be just the facilities he gets from it. But if he's immaculately dressed and he's that, then you know that there's the element of order and everything like that is very important. So you have more goodness dealing there, or maybe more passion, but there'll be less ignorance. Right, where the person who's not as well dressed means there's more ignorance there. Right? Unless it's they're very intellectual and it's just they don't care. You know, they don't notice. So then it's not a matter of that. But then they'll have a very, you know, kind of innocent aspect. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So you know, you have to find what's there. Or they're very intellectual, they're badly you know, dressed and all that, but not innocent, so that means it's cynical. You know what I'm saying? So you have to take these qualities and then follow them back. What are the values of those persons with those qualities? Like that. Does that make sense? So that therefore that's why examples are there. Because you've said the point. But it's only appreciated when you get into the examples and then your synthesis. So then you give examples. If they work, great. If they don't, change your examples. You know what I'm saying? He looked like, you know, he's a businessman, but he actually doesn't really like business. He's only doing it because that's what he has to do. He actually, you know, prefers something else. So that means he's not actually a business person. His varna is different, but he's doing business because that's practical. That's what's available. Does that make sense? So therefore, your examples have to be not business. If the guy's a cutthroat businessman, business examples are great, or economic examples are great. But if he's a kshatriya doing business, he wouldn't give kshatriya examples. But you might give them in the field of business. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, taking care of his people or protecting, you know, from others' takeovers and all these kind of things. So you're dealing with kshatriya values within the economic environment. So that's why all these things are principles. And then you, in the situation, you see which one to use. You know what I'm saying? Because you have the four natures, right? And then you have detail within them. Does that make sense? You know, so you have the four Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, that nature. So within that, you're going to have different values. You know, within the category. Right, you know, the guy's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's a teacher, you know, he's a writer, you know, he's like this. So, but within that, what it is, because they're very different. Lawyers are really good writers, but they're not into writing. They only do the writing because they have to for the case. But it's not that they'd like to write a novel. You know what I'm saying? You know, but the person is a writer, but he may not have that logical a brain as the lawyer. You understand? So you have to find within that what's the thing. Then you have male and female. You know what I'm saying? And then within male and female, which is stronger matter. So is it more on the performing the activity, the accomplishment, the external accomplishment, or is it more about the emotion, the experience? Ultimately, everybody, there's experience. But it's just where are they focusing? You know what I'm saying? Because you accomplished it, that gives you an experience. The other one is when it's accomplished, the experience comes. Does that make sense? So both are doing the same activity. Does that make sense? like that. So like that, that's why the principles are important, because then you can apply it. Details are given so that you can understand the principle. Does that make sense? So that's why it's always, we're going through things, and then we get caught on a form. Then that won't be good. Does that make sense? Because there's so many aspects there. Yeah? So, yeah.
And it would be very difficult to take a detail and just apply all the principles. As
you yeah, it means the detail will be has a limited application. So that's why devotees will say that the Vedic culture doesn't apply nowadays, because they're only looking at certain details. And within the detail, they don't understand the principle. If they understand the principle, it always applies. You know, because even if we're saying, okay, on dress, the principle of the Vedic dress is that it's cultured. It's a gentleman's dress, right? So then you can say, well, gentlemen wear like this, so therefore I'm wearing Western clothes that a gentleman would wear. So therefore I'm accomplishing it. But then the point is yes, but in that particular situation, is that what the Western gentleman would be wearing? You know what I'm saying? So because the mistake is made is that the dhoti and chadar, you can wear it on any situation, any occasion, and it works. So what they do is, therefore, they have their particular dress they like, their particular kind of pant or shirt or t-shirt or whatever it is, and shoes. And so, and because, yes, a gentleman in a specific situation would wear it, it's in that category, but he wouldn't wear those in all situations. That's where they fail. You know, just like the other day we were saying, no gentleman would wear just casual dress to church. He'd wear something formal. So if you're doing kirtan in front of the deities in the temple, especially in Mayapur, right? The guy's from America, and he goes to, and he's a Catholic, right? And he goes to Rome, and he goes into the Vatican. Is he going to go in looking just like a regular, you know, okay, you know, it's more expensive and this and that, and, you know, it's not bad. You know, you can tell that he's got money, but is that good enough? Especially if it was just a tour, it's one thing. But if it was actually a ceremony, do you understand? So would the gentleman wear that? No. So therefore, he's not following the principle. He's attached to a particular detail and then tries to apply that detail to everything, but it doesn't work in everything. You know what I'm saying? It means, why is there a suit bag? Because he's traveling, he just has his suit on. But why is there a suit bag? Because he needs different suits for different occasions. He's going out to dinner, it's one suit. If he's going to the business, you know, meeting, it's another one. You know, he's going out to lunch, you know, with the business guys, it's a different one. He's going to go golfing with those same guys, it's a different one again. You know what I'm saying? So all these different situations, he dresses differently. In other words, it's much more difficult to dress as a modern, up-to-date businessman in all the different situations in the day than it is to dress as a gentleman, as a devotee. The same dhoti and chadar works for everything. Okay, maybe you wear silk instead of cotton or something. You know, unless it's hot, then they'll appreciate that. Right? Does that make sense? I remember in New York, it was 1980, I was standing on the corner. It would have been, you know, over near, where would it have been? Yeah, around between 5th and 3rd, somewhere like that, up at that end, around 48th, 47th, 48th. So I was on the corner waiting for the light, and I had on cotton, you know, the thin cotton dhoti and cotton chadar. And it was middle of summer, right, in New York. And I could hear behind me two like middle-aged ladies talking, and they're going, "Wow, looks very comfortable. Yeah, nice and cool for the summer." You know, like this and that. They were talking about what we're dressed. You know what I'm saying? So if it matches, you know, does that make sense? You know, so the thing is there or another time, also in New York, is that I was thinking here, because you go from here, now it's hot, right? And if you go to New York now, it's not hot, right? You know? So I didn't, I mean, I had stuff, but I didn't understand how cold it would be, windy, right? And so I didn't have enough stuff on. So then I'm walking down the platform, and you know, one of the how do you call it? You know, the metro, you know, things underground like that. And one guy walks by and says, you know, I bet you didn't think it was going to be this cold when you came over, right? So he could tell I was from somewhere else. Like, this is some kind of tropical dress and this kind of thing, you know. And then another time in what was it, in Germany? Yeah. It was in Germany. What's that airport everybody goes to?
Frankfurt,
yeah. So at Frankfurt, and then, you know, you get you know, very tight their schedules there, right? And so then you go into the bathroom, and there, you know, you've got your million sinks and everything like that. And so I'm there, but I'm carrying everything because I'm heading like North Europe or something, or, you know, like this and that. So I got all these chudders and everything. All, I mean, a lot of heavy, heavy stuff. But it's summer, so it's actually quite warm there, you know, because it's more to the south, right? And so then one guy looks at me and says, wow, where are you going? So, in other words, the Vaishnava carries all these, whatever nuances are there, but it's easy. You know, the chatter, you put it on, or you put it on your shoulder, but like a big overcoat, what do you do with it? You can hang it on your shoulder, but you can't take it inside like that. You have to leave it somewhere. So it's much more trouble. So the whole point we're getting at is that the principle is there. You understand it, then you can accomplish it. So that means someone who's cultured, you know, whether it's in whatever society they're in, they know what are all the variety of dress for whatever situations a cultured person would find themselves in. And so they have that variety. You know what I'm saying? So devotees will say, oh, the Vedic isn't practical, but actually it's the most practical because it's the most simple. The least amount of things. It's just like, okay, let's say this year, you know, the dhoti fits, okay? Right? But let's say next year, you know, I've been there, you know, you went home, you visited your mom, this and that, you know, you didn't get out much and all that, you know, and you've gained, you know, 10 kilos. Okay. So does the dhoti fit?
Yes.
Yeah. It still fits. Okay, but does your pants fit?
No.
Yeah. Right? And then, or let's take another example. Okay, now you know you're, you know, 21 years old and all this and that, and so you got your dhoti on, right? You know, like that. Now this same dhoti, let's say, you know, 30 years later, does it still work?
Yes.
Right, okay. But now those same pants you wore, that same shirt you wore when you're 21, does it still work when you're 40?
No.
You understand? So this idea that somehow the Vedic is not practical and the Western is so practical, it's being completely misrepresented.
I always thought it was a disadvantage because you didn't know if you're putting on weight or not.
Who cares? Who cares?
Okay.
That must be a female consideration.
No, men also. Yeah, it's just it's anybody like that. It means if you always wear devotional clothes, then you generally don't worry about it. If you have to wear a lot of times Western clothes, generally found those are the ones that worry more about it because you can tell. Okay. So for continuing the purport, one should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attached to this supersoul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Okay. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness. Right? So you're fully conscious. So full consciousness means Brahman is partial conscious, Paramatma is more, but Bhagavan is full. And then that's devotion.
Mm.
Right? Because you can't have that you're conscious but not devotional. Right? Because everybody's conscious of God, but it's not favorable because they don't even necessarily know that they're conscious of God. Does that make sense? Like the more you're conscious, in full consciousness, the more you understand it's Krishna, so the more you interact with that in that situation according to what would be favorable to Krishna. Right? And then you come to the point of sarva-dharma, that you give up doing it because that's the rules for dealing with Krishna in this form, but you want to please Krishna, so you're dealing with Krishna in this form, so how is he pleased? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Notes. Unreserved surrender to Krishna is the method of devotion of the gopis, who are the most perfect transcendentalists. Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 12, 13 through 15. All those hundreds of thousands of gopis, understanding me to be their most charming lover and ardently desiring me in that way, were unaware of my actual position. Yet by intimately associating with me, the gopis attained me, the supreme absolute truth. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, abandon the Vedic mantras as well as the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures and their positive and negative injunctions. Disregard that which has been heard and that which is to be heard. Simply take shelter of me alone, for I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, situated within the heart of all conditioned souls. Take shelter of me wholeheartedly, and by my grace be free from fear in all circumstances. Mm. Well, very nice. Essential sloka. So all those hundreds and thousands, so it's meaning a lot, means you're talking big pastime here. Right? Means we will move within our group that there'll be, you know, some smaller thousands, right? Because that's who we know and who we're interacting with. But the point is the Dhamma is unlimited. So there's all these other groups. So all those groups together, you have hundreds and thousands or millions. Sometimes it talks about millions of gopis, right? You know, because you're dealing with all these expanded ranges. So all of them, the point is that they just see Krishna as the most charming lover, like that. And they just have that attraction to Krishna, that attachment to him. That's what's there. That's the working principle. So they're fully conscious and devotional. So it's not about knowledge, it's not about technique, it's not about rules. Right? It's simply being attracted to Krishna and desiring to please Krishna. That's all. Like the other day, so what do we do? No, that's all you have to do. But we go through all these different things just to convince ourselves that this is all we have to do. Right? Like, do we notice, like here, we'll be discussing, right? Basically, we're discussing similar topic, from different angles, but similar topic, you know, for this year, you know, very clearly, the analysis is always dealing with the same aspects. Different, right? So now, when we go through here, then basically there's a general understanding. Everybody's catching it because we've been dealing with it for, you know, some time now, right?
Mm.
You know, so there's a basic understanding. But sometimes when we deal with something, then one person will have a question on it, right? As if they don't even understand the point at all, right? And it's easy to see when it's not your point,
yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like, the one person is asking, and everyone else is thinking, we already covered that, you know? That's obvious. Does that make sense? But the point is these are what happened. Everybody's doing it. In other words, the general things, but when it goes to some detail, if that detail has some meaning, then it may bring out, it'll create that bit of illusion, because there's not that full consciousness of Krishna there because of our consciousness and material. Does that make sense? So that's why the different angles, because we're trying to convince ourselves from all the angles that all there is this point of just, you know, being completely attracted to Krishna, right? Means how you say it? Simply take shelter of Krishna. Okay. Okay, yeah. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part. So then what constitutes devotion and what constitutes full consciousness? These are where our questions will come up. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's also the advantage of studying as a group, is because then everybody will move forward, you know, together. But at the same time, it's where someone has a weakness, others don't necessarily notice that part. You just take that for granted. So then by that coming out, then we also then see it from these angles.
Yes. Sometimes it's very interesting to hear other people's questions, because I would never have asked that question.
Yeah.
Something at all.
You wouldn't have thought about it, yes, because they have a value in that area, so they'll bring that out. Well, you wouldn't. Mm. You know, the same time is then you'll bring out things that they want. So that's the idea of sadhu sangha. That's why goshti is very important, because it does that. Because it's different angles of vision. It brings out stuff. So there are things that you wouldn't have thought of but are favorable to you. And then there's things that you wouldn't have thought of because it's not really important to you. You don't have any issues there. So the other person is an issue. So does that make sense? Because it's not that the group doesn't come up with things that seemingly as if, you know, what has it got to do with the topic? Or it has to do with the topic, but why don't they already understand it, right? The difficulty comes is when it's someone who is new to the group. They'll ask on a level that everybody has already understood. So the group is, there's subtleties that they're not understanding. But others, it's major points. So then it'll be felt like, okay, well, this is not an important question. You understand? Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of that. So here he's pointing out is that they're not aware of his actual position, because being God isn't the reason that they are attracted to him. Right? Worshippers in Vaikuntha is because he's God. And which is fine, because he is God. You know? But then these higher aspects of rasa is because he's God is not why they're interested. They just like him as a person. Because ultimately, he's a person, even though he's God. You know, the chancellor is still a person. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the thing. So, yeah. So that's, they're attracted like that. And so that's his point. Abandon the Vedic mantras, because everything's based on the Vedic mantras, the Samhita. You know, they memorize the mantras. Those are used for everything. Then he says, as well as the procedures of supplementary Vedic literatures, because then the supplementary will give ways to apply it and understand it, right? And their positive and negative injunctions. Discard which has been heard and what is to be heard, because you'll hear so many things, what should be done, not done, right? You also hear, you'll hear all the Puranas and all these other literatures that are supportive of that, or you count those in as Veda. So, the point is that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because it pleases Krishna. That's all. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. So you say, you know, why is this done? Okay, does that please Krishna? No, why is it actually done? What's, you know, they want to know some kind of metaphysical or some kind of person, you know, the pious personal fruit, the benefit you'll get from it. You know what I'm saying? You know, why do we have a sikha? We say Krishna likes them. You know, it's kind of, no. I say, no, the Brahmarundra is there, so it's a delicate spot, so you have it there, it protects the Brahmarundra, you know, because of the Kundalini. Oh, okay, yeah, right. You know, it's kind of like, you know, and since when does that mean anything to you? You know, like that? But, you know, just had more. But if you just say Krishna liked it.
So they have it upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So simply take shelter of me alone, right? So that's surrender to Krishna, right? And the surrender has those six forms, you know, the six symptoms of surrender. Okay.
So the teaching of the Gita and the Uddhava Gita are the same thing?
Yes. Gita, Uddhava Gita, and you'll find the Kapila Gita. So at some point we'll have a, you know, an analysis, like this is an analysis, we'll have one of those three. But it was, we were discussing whether to do, you know, at what point. But I think, you know, the main on its own will probably be when we're doing the when we're dealing with the 11th canto. But otherwise, then it can be worked in with the other two. Like that, I'll have to bring that up. But they're the same thing. It's just a little more technical, the Uddhava Gita. Like that, a little more detail. So this last is, take shelter of me wholeheartedly. You know, that means with that full surrender. And by my grace, be free from all fear, from fear in all circumstances. So fear is, fear comes up because we don't understand our relationship with the Lord. Because we think we're the body. Therefore, then we become fearful. Or we think we're the body and we're fearful of understanding we're not the body. So we don't want, you know, ignorance is bliss. So therefore, we're also fearful of finding out about it. You know. But in either case, forgetting our relationship with the Lord creates fear. So if you wholeheartedly surrender to Krishna, then by Krishna's grace, we'll always remember him. We'll always identify as his servant, right? That was the fifth point of surrender. Always identifying as Krishna's servant, right? So that one will be free from fear. So someone who's surrendered is free from fear. Right? So that's why Prahlad is fearless. He's surrendered. The demigods are fearful. Why? Because they're not surrendered. Right? But Lakshmi, her fear is simply she doesn't know what the relationship is. Like she doesn't know how to serve Krishna in this form. Therefore, she's fearful. But it's still based on identity.
In the notes, it is an unreserved surrender. Can you say something more about unreserved surrender?
It's the same as wholeheartedly. Unreserved means that you're not reserving anything for yourself. Right? It means if something's reserved, like if you have come up to a table and it says reserved, you can't use it. Right? So reserved means it's not for, means there's something that is not for Krishna. You've kept it for yourself. This way you reserve something, means you reserve something for yourself.
Unconditional,
unreserved? Yeah, like that. But it's bringing out a different aspect. Unconditional means that there's no, there's nothing that you're trying to gain from unreserved. You're not holding back opportunities. So one's dealing with prayojana, one's dealing with sambandha. Unreserved, it means it's dealing with the sambandha. Unconditional is you're dealing with prayojana. Right? And unalloyed means it's not mixed, so the activity is. So you could even say that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Chaitanya Gaura.